out there on the posters, I'm supposed to talk about Varnashrama. That was a schedule that was set quite some weeks ago prior to a special guest. So I didn't want to speak anything about that other than saying that Krishna, or Srila Prabhupada called the Krishna Consciousness Movement the International Society for Krishna Consciousness Movement. And the society part means that it has a social structure. Those who are sociologists know that there are varieties of social structures. Our social structure is meant for liberation. There are many different other possible ways in which societies can be organized. Ultimately, they all degrade people and don't really deliver to them the real goal of human form of life. And this social structure, Krishna says, is tasyakartam. This is something that I designed, as Krishna designed everything in this world. Krishna also gave a structure by which he expected human beings to live, that is called Varnashrama. And if you want more, want to know more, and talk a little, certainly the book is available. It's part of a series. I didn't join this Krishna Consciousness Movement to be either a sociologist or a social engineer, but it was Srila Prabhupada's desire. So if it's Prabhupada's desire, it's Prabhupada's order. And Srila Prabhupada's desire was that out here in the tennis court, which is now the parking lot over to this side, that there be a 30-story temple. But we're managing one story. As you may have known, a week, this last Friday, the Prime Minister of the UK, Cameron, came here and he performed a groundbreaking ceremony for the Haveli, which is meant to be built not on the tennis court, but a little further over. Is it covered now, that area where the groundbreaking took place? And it's separated. So, and you can see plans, architectural plans. These are approved architectural plans approved by the council, Kirtsmere Borough Council. Just the mention of the name shows up once back. Not out of ecstasy. But I don't know who has come here. Well, I see some faces who have come here since, say, mid-1980s. Not many. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to at least speak a few words. Unfortunately, well, he's going to be a sunk hero, not an unsung hero, but the main hero of this story is he was the president at that time of Bhaktivinoda Manor, who I think many devotees know, which is a company das. And at least in my humble opinion, that by securing actually, number one, the public use of Bhaktivedanta Manor, number two, the rear access road, and that paving the way for the Haveli, Akhandani Prabhu also secured Srila Prabhupada's blessings and probably a very, very wonderful position in the spiritual world. To one of his disciples, Srila Prabhupada, who actually helped fundraise for the temple in Vrindavan, he said, just as he is building a temple in Vrindavan, so Krishna is building a temple for him in Goloka. And then Prabhupada said, and I have seen it. So it may seem to be, well, it is something very extraordinary, the Prime Minister comes here. But if you know the whole story, then it becomes more than extraordinary. It becomes actually a miracle. It's a miracle because Sometime back in the early 80s, I came to the UK in 1980. And at that time when I remember the first few Janmashtamis here at the Manor, they were nothing by comparison to what takes place here. There was sort of a trickle of guests coming. And at a certain point, all of a sudden it was like Bhaktivedanta Manor came on the map, and a flood of guests started to come on Sundays, on Diwali, on Janmashtami, on special festival days. And that started to cause some anxiety to the local village over here. That's called Lechmore Heath. Now, you don't see that village anymore because you're coming in through that way and turning in off the 41. But the entrance to the manor used to be over here, what we now call, what is the road? Well, we call it the back access road, but it didn't exist. It wasn't here. It was built in 96 was when it was open. And so everyone used to come through this village, and at first there was no parking. Then the parking over here that you see, that was an obligatory arrangement that we had to make. And of course, because there was no parking, therefore many of you would have been parking in the village, in front of people's homes, in their driveways, on their front lawns, and the prasadam that everyone took. Well, sometimes people would just go out and then, you know, use their front lawns to picnic and things like that. So obviously, some for good reason, some for not so good reason, the local villagers became irate. And here's Jayapati Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. You want to say something?
Maybe I'll
greet Maharaj. Yeah, go ahead. They had some good reason. Jayapati Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. They had some good reason to complain. And perhaps the issue could have been contained except for the fact that the number of devotees coming to the manor just increased and increased and increased, and it took in more and more and more. And ultimately it became very difficult to contain. So you can just imagine that here's this very quiet, sleepy village in one of the most exclusive suburbs of London, which is one of the most extraordinary places in the UK and the world. Of course, in the UK it is the most. And all of a sudden it's becoming flooded by Hare Krishnas, it's becoming flooded by those of Asian or Indian origin, and it also starting to affect the property prices in the village, which was, well, at that time it was, by today's comparison, quite modest, but still it was something that was of concern to everyone. So the concern spread not from here but to Hertsmere Borough Council, which is the borough in which we are in, Hertsmere. And certain restrictions, well, there were certain exchanges that took place in trying to negotiate sort of an amicable, peaceful agreement. I remember one of those agreements, one of those discussions where we went to speak to some of the leaders of the village. And their proposal was, well, this is a very limited place for you. You've got so many supporters. Why don't you just move to Luton? That was the friendly advice. There was a lot more unfriendly things. So, of course, our plan wasn't to move to Luton. But rather, we tried to continue. At a certain point, if you go down, ironically named Dagger Lane, We're now, even more ironically, of course they changed the name, but it was actually the blood laboratory was situated. Now they've changed the name since then because it didn't sound very good. We're actually negotiating at a certain point to construct a temple over there. As it was, it seemed to be very much a real distraction from the whole issue by the powers that be. And the movement was, there was a very serious legal movement in order to stop public access to Bhaktivedanta Manor. No festivals. No guests. 50 people can live here, and that's it. So that was what was actually the dagger hanging over our heads. And this issue went on for 10 years. I can't go through all and all the details. As I mentioned, it's very extensive. But at a certain point, we realized this. We need to actually get a lawyer. We need to do some things that we haven't done before. I remember being in the theater, and it was full of our patrons. At that time, we already had our manor patrons. And we're discussing, all right, who are we going to get? We actually already had some lawyers. But the idea was we need to have some high-power lawyers. And I don't know, some of the patrons who are out there perhaps directing the traffic and the parking and so on. So they said, we need to get the best planning lawyer in this country. Of course, the question came up, who's going to pay for it? And they said, we will. And that was, for me, that was the beginning of a certain type of confidence and support that Bhaktivedanta Manor began to enjoy from its congregation that still continues on at the present day, and that we really need to see for the construction of this Haveli, which is going to cost, well, they say it's going to cost 10 million pounds. I say it's going to probably cost a little bit more than that. But we're going to actually have to see a similar type of sort of blank check. I had a similar experience in Hungary when we were building our temple, and at a certain point I got cold feet because I realized that I was over budget in the first month of construction. But I had one donor, and he came, and anyway, he ended up spending a little time in jail subsequently, not for building the temple, but, and he just said, listen, you build the temple, I'll provide the money, don't worry about anything. You don't know that type of, that's like sankirtan, that's like music to the ears. Right, Shruti? Shruti needs to hear something like that from some devotees. And that was the same thing that we did at that time, and we did get the best planning lawyer. And that best planning wasn't a lawyer, he was a barrister. He was a Queen's Counsel. And there's a lot to say about him. Because, anyway, when we were doing the inquiry, we were paying how much per hour?
£250.
That was everyone, including for David?
No, that was just
me. I think we were paying at that time for the inquiry that lasted 2 weeks, £500 an hour for legal fees. Altogether, Bhaktivedanta Manor's donors provided £1 million to fight this case. It took £1 million. With £1 million, you could have done so many things. And it went over a period of 10 years. And finally, we lost. We lost the case. So I know we didn't win, we lost. Wow. We lost. And we went to Crown Court or High Court?
Yeah, we went to the European Court.
No, we went first to Crown Court here in London.
Yes, first is the Crown Court.
First we went to Crown Court. We lost. So when things like that happen, then the devotees ask, why is Krishna doing this? Here 10 years, we're trying to do what? We're trying behind the spreadsheet by the Mahaprabhu's movement, and we keep losing. Finally, we went to European tribunal. Ultimately, it came to central government, and ultimately, the central government gave a phenomenal decision. No, you can't just deprive so many people of their right to worship. And they bought into this idea that, all right, we'll close this gate over here, which is more or less closed for everyone except the devotees who live in the village, or we opened it for the Prime Minister, that's where he came, and we can build this rear access service. So that took 10 years. And as I mentioned, with that type of legal cost, that whole battle was, and for that we had sponsored, or we had special walks, we had sponsored walks. Who was here at that time?
Rishi Kapoor.
And we also had bhajans, we had Anup Chaloda. So trying to raise funds in so many ways to actually keep things afloat. But it was a real crisis of faith in one sense, or a real question for not just us, but for so many devotees. And the highlight of this was when I was in Mysore at that time for our annual GBC meetings, when we had organized a march on Parliament, which was what year?
94.
And that was an extraordinary event because 35,000 Hindus marched on Parliament. And that really gave a strong message. I just mentioned earlier that to Shruti, that once an MP was here and we were walking around the grounds and we're telling him about all the problems, and he turned and he said, you know, if you were Muslims, you would have never had this problem. They wouldn't dare do it to you. But because you're Hindus, therefore they think they can get away with it. But when they saw 35,000 people, then things changed. Actually, just imagine that Hare Krishnas can unite the Hindu community. So things started to change. We got that favorable decision, and from that favorable decision, of course, favorable decision doesn't mean do whatever you want. You're still restricted to being able to have only 6 festivals a year, and still there's restrictions even at the present time on what's going to happen here at the manor. But interestingly enough, and I have to close because Jagatapa Swami Maharaj will speak and then we'll have a little program thereafter. But you can see just actually what happened over the period of 30 years. This is over 30 years that all of this unfolded. That the same political party who wanted to shut this place down, Prime Minister is here doing a groundbreaking ceremony to inaugurate a temple. And that's a miracle. That's really a miracle. So sometimes it may appear that, you know, Krishna is putting us to test and we're thinking, why? He has his own plan. We don't have a 30-story temple. We have a 1-story. But it's there. And it will certainly give a wonderful facility for all of you who are here. As I mentioned, the real hero behind this story is not here right now, is Akhandari Das. And another person who really took up this battle is Councillor Frank Ward, who was extremely vocal, a very brave person, who came to India. He was the only councillor who spoke on our behalf. And he fought. He fought for Bhaktivedanta Manor. No doubt he is also getting a lot of mercy and blessings. So I've taken 20 minutes, but I just tried to paint a picture that David Cameron's presence here is not just, well, it was a good communication strategy. We got the Prime Minister here, what a wonderful thing, and he's inaugurating a temple. It's actually almost the conclusion of 30 years of struggle, and actually it goes back to when Srila Prabhupada came here in 1973 and he wanted that temple there. It's a fulfillment
Rupa Srila Prabhupada's plan. So I say it's almost a victory, because we still have to realize this Haveli. And for that, we're going to need this type of support, where devotees can really tell Shruti and all the other devotees here who are going to take responsibility for putting up this building, that you don't worry, you do this, I will provide the funds. So please do that. Be part of a miracle. It's only going to, take it from me, Richmond Borough Council is only going to let you build one building here. You're not going to build another temple here for a long, long time. So that opportunity is a very rare opportunity. And this is Srila Prabhupada's, this is the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON incorporation. A good opportunity to take that vow, to take that pledge, and to get Srila Prabhupada's blessings. These devotees who participated in this, I can tell you, they're going back to Godhead just for this particular service that they're doing, for fighting, like Srila Prabhupada wanted. You chant Hare Krishna and fight. The odds may be insurmountable. You may be fighting against the government of this land, but Krishna's on our side. And whatever Krishna wants to happen, they would have never believed it. You think 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you tell the conservative government that your prime minister is going to come here and he's going to say, Hare Krishna. He doesn't start off saying Namaste. He starts off his speech by saying, Hare Krishna. And he's not doing the rounds of all the Hindu mandirs and the Hindu associations. He's coming only here to the Hare Krishna temple, to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Why is he doing it? Because Krishna told him to. And therefore, if Krishna wants something, it's going to happen. It may take 30 years, but it's going to happen. So be part of the happening, and make this Haveli happen, and you'll certainly receive blessings from Radha Gokulananda and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhaktivedanta Manadam ki jai.